The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again to God Calling. I am Paul Orlowski, and Father Matthias of the Immaculate Heart is joining us, which is a Carmelite order. And Father, first of all, welcome to God Calling.
Thank you so much, Paul. Good to be with you all.
Do you always have something in your heart that maybe drew you to a religious vocation, or did that come later in life?
I didn't always recognize it. I had a little inkling as a young lad around First Communion time. I had the thought, be a priest pop in my head, but I thought, no way. I was the only grandson on my dad's side to keep the family name going. Not until high school it came back, through a conversion and a good priest who encouraged me. And then it struggled the next 8 years. Is he calling me? Is he not? Until he really broke through in a dramatic way back in 2008.
Something unique happened, or just all of a sudden your heart felt the call?
Yeah, I was wondering when to propose to my girlfriend, was going to start a master's program, buy 5 acres in the country. I worked for the church full-time with youth ministry and a Catholic rock band called The Thirsting, and all these good things were happening, but my girlfriend and I had prayed a 30-day prayer to St. Joseph, asking for God's just will to be done, and just a number of things that happened that kind of opened me back up. And I was on a band tour in California, got some hard news that brought me to my knees, and I was just spent a day in prayer, and went to adoration that day. And in the midst of adoration, I heard the Lord speak to me, not audibly, but deep within. He said, will you give me your life? And
wow.
I thought, aren't I already, you know? But the way that unfolded was through priesthood, religious life, especially going back to talk to my parish priest. And I told him, Father, I got to let go of this priesthood thing. You know, I heard this from the Lord, and all these things are happening. He just spoke right to my heart. And one of the most important things was he talked about celibacy in a different light. Yes, sacrifice, but also a sense of a spousal union with God that's intensified on earth through that supernatural, not natural, but supernatural gift. And that just, I can't explain it. My head and my heart met, and I knew he was calling.
This has come up in a couple of my recent shows, and that is that there's maybe a mindset in some folks that this whole dedication to religious life or celibacy, in that you're losing something as opposed to you're gaining something. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that relationship with Christ is a kind of a spousal sort of a thing. Well, tell me about growing up, Father. Where did you grow up, and did you go to Catholic schools?
I grew up in Washington State, Southwest Washington, north of Portland, little town, no stoplights, in the country, 5 acres with the fam, and it's kind of a normal childhood. It was as you may know, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, it's considered the most unchurched area of the country. So
oh, I didn't know that.
I went to public schools, other than a Lutheran preschool,
okay,
which was just down the street. But it was during high school, talking to a Mormon buddy. We had many Mormons at our school. where he challenged me about my faith, and it kind of sent me searching. And thanks be to God, I discovered Catholic Answers and apologetics, and the faith really came alive, especially our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. As I, even though I had good parents and to a good parish, and every Sunday, I didn't realize the profound gift we had in the Eucharist, and just encountering Him, the faith came alive. So, went to college at St. Martin's University up in Olympia, Washington, Lacey, just south of Seattle. Benedictine monks up there was a good experience, and that's where I especially wrestled with the vocation.
Mm-hmm. But at one point, did you think about being a diocesan priest, or did the order priest always jump out at you?
Yeah, after that kind of important conversion experience my senior year of high school with just with the faith, even with the calling, is the first time a priest had asked me, have you ever thought about priesthood? A diocesan, that was the only thing I really knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I became a seminarian affiliate for a semester and put too much pressure on myself. I thought I'd be unfaithful if I kind of wavered with this. My pastor told me, grab the plow, don't look back. But I just couldn't do that yet. I was too raw spiritually and ended up taking a step back and dating and just kind of being a normal college student for mm-hmm. 3 years.
Yep. What changed?
So, yeah, went the diocesan route.
Okay.
Well, what changed is good question. So I started, I was so drawn to work for the church, so I became a full-time DRE youth minister.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually went to another parish, youth and young adult ministry, was in the band. All these things, I remember asking the Lord, boy, I just couldn't shake this sense of calling and to priesthood. I said, Lord, if this isn't from you, just take it from me.
Yeah, right.
I sensed kind of some sort of a freedom, like it's okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I got serious with dating a wonderful girl who was, I think, a year and 3 months, you know, really involved with her family. Devout Catholics. She was one of 12, I believe. Family.
Wow.
Originally from Mexico. And this gringo, I'm a gringo, a white guy, just was very much part of their family. It was a beautiful experience. But still, it came back. And that's when I, like I mentioned, had the profound experience with the Lord in adoration. So...
Your order is the your Father Matthias of the Immaculate Heart, OCD, the Order of Discalced Carmelites. What is that, Father?
What's that stand for? I mean, it also stands for Obsessive Compulsive Disorder.
That's where my mind went first. Yep.
Yes. So I do have a bit of that in me. So I'm OCD times two squared. But it's, yes, order, well, in Latin, it's OCD, but the Discalced Carmelite Order. That's a whole story as far as being called to them, but that's the reform of St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross in the Carmelite Order, a reform that became a separate order in the church because her charism was so profound.
Lou, and why don't we stop right there, Father? It sounds like it's an interesting story. I want to let it breathe. So let's take our break here and then come back with that, if that's okay with you.
Sounds great.
All right.
Absolutely, Paul.
This is God Calling. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back. We're glad you're here. Father Matthias of the Immaculate Heart is with us. He is the Provincial Vocation Director for that order as well. Father, you were talking about the kind of the formation, the OCD, Carmelites, and some of the different charisms and devotions to St. Teresa, our Mary, of course. And on it goes. Continue.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we were talking a little bit about who are the Discalced Carmelites.
Mm-hmm.
We are the only religious order founded in the church founded by a woman. We're speaking of the ancient orders, which we're blessed to still call ourselves an order. There's many congregations. Of course, Mother Teresa of Calcutta founded a branch of men for the Missionaries of Charity. But Teresa of Avila began this movement, reform of the Carmelite order, and she just set out to live more faithfully with a smaller group of women like Jesus and the apostles. she pulled in John of the Cross because she was inspired to found the complementary male branch of her renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually we became the Discalced Carmelites. Discalced was a buzzword at the time in the 16th century for reform.
Oh, okay.
Discalced meaning shoeless. Even though the friars started going around shoeless, Teresa told them, get some sandals on your feet, you know, take care of yourself. So that she was very practical, but hardcore as well. So from this order, many, many fruits have come. St. Therese of Lisieux was Discalced Carmelite, and many other saints.
I've seen the term Theresian Carmelites.
Absolutely. You've done your homework. That's an emphasis on Teresa, that she really founded us. And John of the Cross is our Holy Father, as we say. But we pay that honor to Teresa the Lord laid that on her heart, and she's the one that really established this movement, this charism within the Carmelite order.
Okay. In some of my study, I guess, I talked about some things you said about, you know, fraternal charity, universal brotherhood, and proof of the powerful influence exerted by love, justice, and peace in the gospel, and what the gospel brings us. What is the mission of the order, the mission and work of the order, Father?
Yeah, the family of Carmel, which the full name is the Discalced Brothers of the Blessed Virgin Mary of Mount Carmel, the first order totally dedicated to Mary, you know, taking on her name as well in the 12th century, with St. Elijah as a great inspiration, as well as Our Lady. Teresa really zeroed in on the primacy of prayer. That you can boil down as our charism in the church, that special gift that we're meant to inculcate, stir up in the whole church, prayer. So you can say that our charism is union with God, practicing the presence of God, contemplative life, at the same time teaching others the spiritual life, especially through our doctors, Teresa, John of the Cross, and St. Therese of Lisieux and their teaching. So no matter what we do, because as friars, she did not want us cloistered.
Mm-hmm.
So John of the Cross was not cloistered. He was a deep contemplative, at the same time, quite active with ministries within the order, to the poor, to mentoring, spiritual direction, traveling. Whatever we're doing, it should be imbued with that charism of helping other people in their relationship with God, with their prayer life.
Had you considered other orders, but this charism was one that really drew you?
Yes, good question. So going back to after the calling became clear, will you give me your life? And in this specific way, I was hoping it would be religious life because I'd worked in parishes for years, and that's a wonderful thing. But for me, I was hanging on by a thread with my spiritual life. I was so busy and had a sense of wanting accountability and brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was open, trying to be open, Lord, wherever you're calling me. But I was drawn to the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, the CFRs, that Father Benedict Rochelle started.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I'd met with him once, and he encouraged me to come out there. So I went out to Harlem and spent a week with them, and it was an incredible time. But afterwards, I realized it wasn't home. I didn't quite fit in with the Franciscan charism. And when I was asking the Lord, actually, in adoration, I was sitting there saying, "Where are you calling, Lord?" and just trying to listen to him. And some lights came that a Discalced Carmelite friar later told me were signal graces from Our Lady that she promises in the rosary. And as I was sitting there in adoration, I had kind of an impression of poverty and brown habit.
Hmm.
And I just kind of shook it off, and, you know, because I was falling asleep when that was happening. Okay, Lord, let's try this again. And eventually the word mendicant surfaced. And I didn't know what the word mendicant meant. And it refers to those mendicant orders, beggars specifically, but that movement of St. Francis. And I immediately thought Franciscan then, and that's when I went out to the CFRs. But after that didn't quite settle well intuitively, I asked Therese, whose picture I had next to my bed, because I was devoted to her, where Therese, and it dawned on me, she was a Carmelite. I said, okay, I'll check them out. They're mendicants as well, the friars. So anyway, went down to San Jose, California, to Mount St. Joseph Carmelite Monastery, and it was just a home sense. The fathers felt like fathers, the brothers like brothers, our cloistered nuns, sisters, mothers, secular Carmelites. It was just a family, and that's one thing of Teresa's charism. She really wanted smaller communities with a family feel. The way that they prayed, the 2 hours that we have of mental prayer each day, the devotion to Our Lady, it just felt like I'd been prepared for this place.
The right fit.
Yeah, the right fit.
Father Matthias of the Immaculate Heart is joining us on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, your host. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will each and every week at this time. We're going to be back with more of the Father right after these messages. Stay tuned. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Father Matthias of the Immaculate Heart, OCD, is joining us. He is the Provincial Vocation Director for that order. And Father, I was reading some more about the charism kind of, but you know, something that came really through, and maybe this has to do with St. Teresa, is the call to prayer embraces our whole life. Sustained by the Word of God and the Sacred Liturgy, we're led to live in intimate friendship with Jesus. Once you start looking at it as friendship and not you're afraid or you're cowering or you're, it's a friendship with Jesus. Talk to Jesus, to God.
She did not have any time for what's called mental prayer within her first monastery that she had entered. 140, 150 nuns living at the Incarnation Monastery in Avila, Spain. So large community, more intricate liturgical prayer, but no time built in for mental prayer. And that's what she discovered in this drawing by the Holy Spirit, to have deeper intimacy with Jesus personally, in silence and solitude, which was the original Carmelite impetus on Mount Carmel. And so having a smaller community, more intentional prayer and solitude, developed into that hour in the morning and hour in the evening of mental prayer. And St. Teresa defined mental prayer in a few ways, but she said it's nothing else than a heart-to-heart conversation with Him whom we know loves us. It's being on terms of friendship with God, of course. It's taking time frequently to be alone with Him. So it absolutely is the foundation, that friendship. But Carmelites especially emphasize Him whom we know loves us. That stirs up the affections, the will, to move us to linger in faith and hope and love in His presence. So with that, we're trying to just dispose ourselves, if He wishes to give the grace of contemplation, whether that's in dryness or an experience of God. We're really longing for that fidelity, that contact with Him, that deeper intimacy with God. And that fires us up to want to share that with others.
Mm-hmm. As vocation director, is the job getting harder given today's people? I have a letter here that you wrote, kind of encouraging people, a brief note to encourage and to make an appeal for prayers. I guess it all starts with prayers for encouraging vocations.
With mentioning vocations, I'll make a quick plug.
That's good.
That we have, there's three provinces in the United States of Discalced Carmelite Friars, the Washington province, that's the eastern province, and I believe that Cleveland is within that territory. There's a southern province, a semi-province called the Oklahoma province, and I'm out west, what's called the California-Arizona province. So we're all Discalced Carmelite friars, and there's vocation directors that people can work with, and as long as they know that too, they're free to discern in whichever province they wish. Mm-hmm. But your question about if it's gotten more difficult in a way, you know, what's interesting is with the pandemic, I've seen an uptick, especially in younger men, contacting us, reaching out. It seemed beforehand to be, there was a few younger, but kind of older. Our cutoff is 35 years old, and rarely would we make an exception, especially if we already know the man?
Mm-hmm.
But I think people have had time to reflect, and men have as well, with where's my life going, being more open to God. You know, those who've gone with God have grown in grace through this difficult, challenging, upside-down time, and others have kind of fallen away and have had a harder time. Got to still reach out to them. But like you said, prayer, I mean, that's what it's got to start with. Anybody listening right now, that was the Lord's command with vocations. You know, the harvest is abundant, the laborers are few. Ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers mm-hmm. for his harvest.
What advice would you give to a young person who's considering religious life?
That's got to be the heart. Like you said, that deep friendship, asking him, being dependent upon him, because it's a supernatural call, especially with religious life. But wherever he's calling, whatever vocation, just seeking his will above all and knowing that he's faithful. He's not playing games.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to unfold, especially according to our faith and our confidence, our trust in him, that, okay, Lord, I don't know if what the timeline is going to be, you know, a few years, next week, whatever it is, you know, reveal this path ahead of me. Lead me, Lord, even if I know nothing about the pathway is not so illuminated up ahead of me. I trust that you're going to lead me and take care of me. And that kind of faith God loves, he's going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to prayer, don't do it alone. We can deceive ourselves. The evil one is prowling like a roaring lion, and he wants to even tempt us to good away from better.
Okay.
That's going to shave us off. And when I say that, that doesn't mean it's just religious life. If you're called to marriage, who knows how he could tempt to try to kind of throw you off the path even there. Having a spiritual director, somebody you can trust, somebody who's a mature Christian, can really make a difference to be transparent with them and pray together and talk to them about this.
When you deal with people coming in from the outside, there's a lot of negativity about the church and the media. And how do you deal with that?
Well, I think the witness speaks louder than words. I was at a gas station yesterday, and there's a Buddhist woman who had kind of a misconception about the church. She saw me in my habits, and she says, boy, I've only seen you guys in movies.
Oh, my goodness.
And we, that was better than maybe, you know, are you a Jedi or whatever can be asked, you know, our habit. But that just started up a conversation, and she said, yes, I want to contact you. I want to come up to the monastery. And who knew that we were neighbors?
Yeah.
I want my kids to be exposed to, you know, other faiths. And great, I was able to even share the gospel a bit with her.
Yeah.
So just that contact, loving her, being patient, and I hope spoke to the heart.
Father, thanks so much for joining us. This has been a wonderful conversation. If somebody wants more information, can they get some online about the order?
Absolutely. Just a Google search, Discalced Carmelite Friars. My province is discalcedcarmelitefriars.com, and you'll see at the bottom Father Matthias down there. I can help you even no matter where you're discerning, if it's with another province. Amen. God's will be done.
Father, thanks again. Delightful conversation. Father Matthias of the Immaculate Heart joining us, OCD, joining us here on God Calling today. We'll be here every week at this time. We hope you will be too. I'm Paul Orlowski. Have a great week.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM1260TheRock.com.